here and where there's duality, it's really difficult to discern good and evil. And if we learn to judge correctly, then we make a big advance that will go with us afterwards and give us higher consciousness and higher realms.
Well, the Tibetan tells us in a simple way.
What's it?
The Tibetan tells us in a simple way. He calls it building the Antaparana. We call it soul contact, but it's that light tube, the connection with the higher self, your eternal self. And he gives a formula that I use. It's called study, meditation, and service. But see, we overlook the simple truth sometimes.
Now, Jesus is a big mystery because a lot of the religions think that he's the God that created the whole universe, and he's pretty much it. This is a scripture that really gets them. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the light of life and the light of men. But it's somewhat mistranslated. The concordant version have done these people have done a lot of studying as to how the actual Greek should be read if it's interpreted literally, and here's the way they translated it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was toward God, and God was the Word. This is in the beginning toward God. All things came into being through it, not him, but through it, the Christ principle, in other words. And apart from it, not even one thing came into being which has come into being, and in it was life, and life was the light of men. This goes along with the Course in Miracles, which teaches that this whole universe and everything in it was created through the Christ principles. And the Christ principle was a combination of all of us, all the sons of God that decided to incarnate were part of the Christ. And we all participated in the creation of everything in time and space. Yeah.
Quick question. What you just read, in the beginning was the Word. When was that exactly written?
Scholars say about 100 AD.
And do we know who wrote that? Was it part? Does it transfer down from the disciples who wrote these?
Well, it's attributed to John the Revelator.
And were they taught by Jesus Christ this principle?
Quite possible.
So it won't. It's not new then. It's a question of interpretation.
Yeah.
Because they right now most conventional Christians will think there is one God who created, but if what you're saying is back then they had a much larger understanding that was misinterpreted throughout the ages.
This is a mistranslation of the King James, which says him. The concordant version, which translates it literally, says it. Meaning, and it is the Christ principle itself. And who shares the Christ principle? All the sons of God. And it's like in the book of Job says that the sons of God all rejoiced when the foundations of the earth were laid. Not the Son of God, but all the sons of God rejoiced when the foundations of the earth were laid. We are all the sons of God. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, and these scriptures you're called the Son of God. We all rejoiced when we laid the foundations of the earth, that we could come down here and play games, so to speak. Now here's an interesting scripture from Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, speaking of giving us an idea of what Christ is. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit were given to every man to profit withal. Then Paul enumerates this and says, for the body is one and hath many members, and all the members, that is us human lives, of that one body in God, being many are one body, so also is Christ. So what he's saying here is what Christ is a body with many different members. And that many different members are you and me. We're all part of the body of Christ. And then he goes on to say that, you know, Jesus was the head of the body. But the Christ, what is called the Christ in the scriptures, is the body with many members. For God is not one member, but many. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. That's really pretty clear when you think about it. And then we have this scripture. We're told that until Christ be formed in you, to whom God would make known the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, the mystery is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christ isn't just Jesus. Jesus is called our elder brother. But Christ itself is a principle that is in each one of the sons of God. And then we also have this, 2 Corinthians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not mockery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And then later it says that the life of Jesus might be manifest in our body. So that's pretty interesting scriptures that you don't hear preached in church.
That's overshadowing, right?
Well, not so much overshadowing, but having a connection to God through the Holy Spirit that produces the Christ in each one of us, overshadowing some of the prayers.
Now, some people think that Christ is kind of a title, like Jesus the Christ, and when you take on the name of Christ, you're taking on the body of Christ.
Well, here's what Joseph Smith was quoted as saying. That's kind of interesting for the Mormons here. Jesus is one of a grand order of saviors. Every world has its distinctive savior, and every dispensation its Christ. That's a pretty profound statement. Goes along with D.K. says the same thing. Every dispensation, he says, has an avatar that is a Christ-like figure that heads up the new age. And Jesus was the avatar of the Piscean age. And when he comes again, he's going to have an unusual position of being the avatar of two different ages. They usually have a different avatar of each age. Like Moses was over the age of Aries and so on. And so you have different avatars. That's a Christ-type figure over each one of the ages. And Jesus, the Christ, will have the opportunity to be the avatar of two different ages.
Yeah. I just question, why would that be? Why two different ages?
Because it's important for him to complete his seventh initiation. He has work to complete for himself and for the world. And he has a strong connection, both him and Jesus have a strong connection to the Christian church. And because of the strong connection, they will be avatars in some way. We don't know exactly how that's going to happen, whether it'll be overshadowing or an appearance in actual person or not.
But if the seventh initiation is that tough, not everybody can do a seventh initiation and be an avatar over two ages.
Oh, right, like Moses was not a seventh degree initiate. But it's a person that can do the job at that time is one that's like, you know, and it's not necessarily his initiation status.
But it's a pretty unique situation and history of the earth altogether.
Right, right, it is. And we're in a unique age because we're entering the age of Aquarius, which will last about 2300 years. But this age of Aquarius is a larger Aquarius because we have 12 cycles. And in these 12 cycles, we have a larger cycle of Aquarius, Pisces, and so on.
So
we're entering the lower age of Aquarius and also a higher age of Aquarius at the same time. It only happens about once every million years or so.
Don't they refer to this as the meridian of time for this earth?
The Mormons do, yeah.
Do you agree with that?
It's quite possible. We're kind of at a meridian in other ways. So that could be a true revelation.
Well, I just had a question because the the whole avatar thing came up, and I was wondering if you can maybe, since we're hearing that, you brought up the fallout discourse, but when Jesus mentions that I'm only doing what I've seen the Father do, Heavenly Father do, I remember there was like an assumption that Heavenly Father was a Christ in another life. Is that, how do you explain that?
Yeah, it's quite possible. But if that's transcribed correctly, it's quite possible he had a vision when he was here of what his father did on another world, who in esoteric language that would be like Sanat Kumara, the head of Shambhala, the god of this earth. And so it's quite possible that he saw a vision of the one that was working with him, whom he called his father, that he saw what he did on another planet in a long past, how he overcame him. So that's quite possible to happen.